Isaiah chapter 22. We'll try to get through this chapter tonight. We are going to look at some other scripture out of Kings and Chronicles that go along with it, passage over in James. And also there will be some here in Isaiah that we're going to refer to as well beside chapter 22. Since God judged other ungodly nations, it was pretty obvious that Judah was in line to be judged next, because they were doing the same basic sins like as their wicked neighbors were doing. God did deliver Jerusalem from the Assyrians. Remember when he killed 185,000? I think Sennacherib was the king then, or the ruler. But Babylon later would besiege them. And the reason that Babylon was allowed to besiege them, there were several, but two major sins that were true of Judah and caused their ultimate demise and caused them to be taken captive by Babylon were the people's unbelief. The people's unbelief, and we'll look at that in detail, and also the leader's unfaithfulness. The people's unbelief and the leader's unfaithfulness. And this, both of those are under number one, Judah and Jerusalem, chapter 22, verses 1 through 25. And I said number one, it's not really one, it's I. It's a letter I. Sorry. I did a capital I, and a capital I is Roman numeral one, right? So, if you recall, the last country, I think, was Edom, wasn't it? And that was H, correct? H, Edom. This is I, Judah, and Jerusalem. These are the nations that God was telling Isaiah would be judged. Now, some parts of the section we're going to look at, which the people's unbelief covers verses 1 through 14, some of the verses appear, and I think maybe they do, refer to the Assyrian invasion during Hezekiah's reign. You can also write down in your notes, if you'd like to, underneath the people's unbelief, chapters 36 and 37. It talks about the Assyrian invasion in Hezekiah's day. Also, 2 Kings 18 and 19, if you want to look at those on your own. And 2 Chronicles 32. Isaiah 36 and 37, 2 Kings 18 and 19, 2 Chronicles 32. Though the Assyrian invasion is alluded to here, primarily, Isaiah is talking about the conquest of Jerusalem by Babylon, and it would have been the last conquest, which was 586 BC. Remember, there were three times. The first time, Nebuchadnezzar's father, I think his name was Nabonidus or Nabonidus, something like that. He ended up, I don't know if he got old or... because he was co-regent with his son Nebuchadnezzar. Anyway, Nebuchadnezzar came himself in 602. Back in 605, it was father and son came down. So there were three different times that the Babylonians came down and besieged Jerusalem. The last time, in 586, that's when Daniel and his friends and many were carried away captive. The last of the three invasions. All right, so let's read verses 1 through 14. Two people read seven verses each. That'd be great. Who wants to read 1 through 7? Rhonda, Betty, you take 8 through 14, okay?
Treading down and of perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision. Break breaking down the walls and a crying to the mountains. And Elam there the quiver with chariots of men and horsemen, and Pur uncovered the shield. And it shall come to pass that thy choicest valley shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves in array at the gate.
And he discovered the covering of David. Made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool. But ye have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till ye die, saith the Lord God of hosts.
All right, thank you, ladies. Okay, so we're looking at the people's unbelief. And the very first verse where it says Valley of Vision, that's talking about Judah and Jerusalem, because there were valleys, more than one valley. Remember, Jerusalem was sitting kind of up. Like if you went from Jericho to Jerusalem, even though you were heading south, it was called going up to Jerusalem. And so Jerusalem is up in elevation. So there were valleys all around it. And in the valleys, the prophets would often receive visions from the Lord. No exception here. So the Valley of Vision is talking about Judah and Jerusalem. And they're asked the question, what aileth thee now that thou art wholly gone up to the housetops? Now, when they went to the housetops, generally that's where they would recline. They would, you know, it got hot there. And in the evening time, you go up on the housetop and go outside on the roof and you would chill out. You know, sip some cool pomegranate juice and just, take it easy. Have your wife fan you with fig leaf or something, you know, just eating grapes that were stolen from the wine press down the street. Stuff like that. So anyway, the question was, why in the world are you up on the rooftop chilling out? Many of you are having parties and celebrations instead of mourning and repenting and mourning over your sin. That thou art full of stirs, a tumultuous city, a joyous city. Now remember that God had delivered Jerusalem from the Assyrians, worked a great miracle. 185,000 Assyrians. Jerusalem got up the next day, and there were 185,000 dead Assyrian soldiers outside the gates. Now, I don't know if they thought, well, God did it then. God's going to do it now. We can take it easy. We can celebrate because God's not going to let anything happen to us because, after all, we are his chosen people. And I think maybe we in America have an attitude like that. We're not God's chosen people, but God has blessed America more than any nation ever in the history of the earth. So with that in mind, I think sometimes we think, and even in church, we get a little slack in our realization our God is a consuming fire, and he is a loving God, but he is also a just God who cannot smile and look at sin with favor. So with that in mind, we're probably beyond the point where there ought to be sackcloth and ashes and repentance, wouldn't you think? And the nation as a whole is just going on about their merry way, just having a ball. I mean, I'm hearing more about ballparks being opened back up. People are all excited and, you know, started out so many thousand, and then it was quarter capacity, and half, and now some are fully open. And the stands are going to be full of fans. And that's wonderful. I love baseball just as much as the next guy. But I don't hear much about the excitement over churches being open, which never closed to start with, except for when we had to, because somebody tested positive or whatever. I mean, I'm still waiting for our folk to come back, but I don't think they're going to until there's no more cases anywhere in the Western Hemisphere. Oh, my. So again, thou art, verse 2, thou that art full of, by the way, the comments I just made, my wife would be making faces at me right now.
I can't make faces because I agree.
No.
Yeah, Becca normally would say, well, I think Dad was right on that. People like to hear about that political stuff. I don't know why you get upset about it. She just was. Stick to the word. Yes, dear. All right. Yeah, she would have rolled her eyes, I'll guarantee, and give me that look. Thou that art full of stirs, and I'd be glad to see that look, by the way. I'd be tickled to death. Tumultuous city, a joyous city. Thy slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. So Isaiah said, what's going to happen is your men are not going to die as a result of war. They're going to die as a result of starvation and disease. All thy rulers are fled together. So maybe they had confidence in their leadership. The problem is, Isaiah said, you know what? Your leaders are going to take off. They're going to run. They are bound by the archers. All that are found in thee are bound together, which have fled from far. So the leaders ran. Turn over to 2 Kings. And let's read a couple of verses to go along with this. It's good to go back and look at, because, you know, Isaiah, of course, sometimes we get confused because we think, well, everything should be in order. You know, it's not in order. It goes by dates, and of course, Kings fill in blanks that the prophets don't deal with, and also repeat some of the things the prophets wrote. Chronicles, the same thing. We find information in Chronicles that help understand some of what the prophets said. All right, 2 Kings chapter 25. Verses 4 through 7. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees, that's the Babylonians, Chaldeans, were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. Forgot how far it was, through 7. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. So it didn't sound too encouraging, does it? Then in verse 4 of chapter 22, therefore said I, look away from me, I will weep bitterly. So Isaiah again was not happy about having to pronounce judgment upon his people. He was grieving over Judah's spiritual state. He said, I will weep bitterly. Labor not to comfort me. I'm not getting involved in your parties on the rooftop. No, because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people. So, to kind of sum up the first four verses, Isaiah described the people as being joyous, involved in all kinds of celebrations. Look at Isaiah 5 for a second and see if you remember this. Isaiah 5, verses 11 through 13. Isaiah 5, 11 through 13. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp, and the viol, and the tabret, and pipe, and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord. This is exactly what's happening here. And this, in chapter 5, Isaiah was, of course, predicting that this would happen. Now we're getting closer to the actual event. Neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. And then chapter 32, to look ahead, because remember, Isaiah kind of goes back and forth and talks about some things more than one time. Isaiah 32, 12, and 13. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, was read in verse number 13. My dad, many years ago, they bought a house which they lived in for like 50 years, and my dad died in that house. And in the basement, half the basement had the beginnings of what back then was called a rec room. And anyway, he finished it out. It was started by the last people, and he hung a sign. He did put a cedar board out at the entranceway, and he was really good. He was quite a drawer. It's a shame he didn't use that talent in some productive way, but he was a very good drawer. He could really draw. And he took, remember the old wood-burning sets? Remember those? And he took my sister's wood-burning set, and he used that wood burner, and he put some stuff on that sign. Then he also had a couple of those little, they were like plastic, formed plastic, almost like 3D, and then the back was cardboard. And one of those signs said, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we diet." And I never realized, of course, as a kid, that that was, the idea came out of the Bible. Of course, it says die, but that sign said diet. In chapter 56 of Isaiah, 56. Is that thunder? Verse 12, huh? Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. Presuming on God. Sound like the United States of America? Hey, it's always going to be. Listen, we've been blessed, and we have plenty, and we've always had plenty. Well, maybe there was a little period of time called the Great Depression. Maybe there were some times when there was a recession. But all in all, we've had our fill. And so tomorrow shall be like today. We'll have plenty tomorrow. And much more abundant. As though the spigot can never run or never be turned off. The well can never run dry. Yeah. Well, hopefully we won't have to find out. The Lord will come back before then. But I got a feeling God's going to do everything he can to wake up this nation, and it's going to cause some pain. So be ready. Be ready. We're all going to Bill and Betty's because they got freezers just packed full of stuff. And they can stuff and everything. And so keep Bill happy. I did buy two, one for me and one for Barb. Now I have two containers of 30 days of complete meals. All you need is a little water. So what will happen is I'll be invaded and I'll be killed for the meal packs. You know, so not really going to do me any good. I don't know why I'd want to linger anyway. I mean, go ahead and be taken out and go home, and that'd be the end of it, right? If in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 32, the Apostle Paul even referred back to Isaiah. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth me if the dead rise not? Talking about the resurrection here in 1 Corinthians 15. If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So he quoted Isaiah as he talked about the importance of believing in the resurrection. No resurrection, there is no hope. But Isaiah could not celebrate because he saw the end result. He saw the ultimate death and destruction in the city of David. As the people celebrated on the rooftops, Isaiah was down in one of the three valleys receiving this vision from the Lord. And Wiersbe said this. He said, often valleys and visions go together. Sometimes when we're in the depths of the deepest valleys, that's when God speaks the most, or the most clearly, when we're in the valley. So valleys and visions often go together. So he saw people dying from famine and disease, not war. The leaders took off as the Babylonian army approached. I think we got down through verse number 4. Let's look at 5, this part of that. For it is a day of trouble and of treading down and perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls and of crying to the mountains. So basically, Isaiah is saying in verse number 5, the terror of the Lord is returning. The terror of the Lord is returning. 2 Kings chapter 25. You can write this down. We're not going to turn there. But second, unless you want to. We didn't look at 25, did we? I don't want to repeat myself. 25:1-7. We did. Okay. Well, then just write down 25:1-10. Read the rest of them either side of 4-7, okay? We won't go back and do it now. All right, then in verse number 6, and Elam bare the quiver with chariots of men and horsemen, and Kir uncovered the shield. So the land, the Elamites and those from Kir had representatives in the Assyrian army that besieged Jerusalem. So here's a reference to the Assyrians. And then verse 7. It shall come to pass that thy choicest valleys shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves in array at the gate, talking about the valleys being full of enemy troops. Then in verses 8 through 11, the people tried to get ready and defend themselves. So Isaiah gives a list of the things that they would try. The first thing is getting armor. Getting armor. Back in 1 Kings chapter 7. 1 Kings 7, and look in just one verse. Verse number 2. Wow, that's a long chapter, 1 Kings 7. He built also the house of the forest of Lebanon. The length thereof was 100 cubits. And the breadth thereof 50 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits, upon four rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams upon the pillars. This was a house that Solomon built, really more like a storage building. And in this large storage building, there were weapons and other valuables. And that's what Isaiah is referring to. And then also in 1 Kings chapter 10, and verse number 17, and he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. Wow, I'd like to have one of those. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. That's what I just read about in chapter 7, that special storage house that Solomon built. We're getting armor, verse number 8, and he discovered the covering of Judah and didst look in that day to the armor of the house of the forest that I just read about. The house had, again, weapons, other valuables in it, and it was made of cedars. Then, secondly, not only were they getting armor, but also strengthening the walls of the city. Verse 9, ye have seen also the breaches of the city of David, that they are many. And And you gather together the waters of the lower pool. That would be the pool of Siloam. Now remember, Jerusalem bore David's name. This is called the City of David. That pool of Siloam furnished the city's water supply. And Hezekiah, remember, he did I want to say conduit, but I don't think that's what I'm looking for. That I thought of aqueduct, but there wasn't that one either. What's another word for? Maybe that is it. The aqueduct. Anyway, he was bringing water, and keeping that pool of Siloam filled. That was their main water source.
It was a tunnel.
Yeah, exactly. It was a remarkable thing that Hezekiah the king had built to supply water for the city. Good water. I think parts of it's still around, right?
It still exists.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? All right, so strengthening the walls, also verse 10, you have numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses have he broken down to fortify the wall. So they were taking some of the houses and using materials from the houses to try to fix the breaches in the city wall. Verse number 11, ye made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool. The old pool was the pool of Gihon. It sometimes was called the upper pool. And so the upper pool would help to feed the lower pool. Between the two walls, they made a water, a place to store water. And then in the midst of all this, Isaiah said, but ye have not looked unto the maker thereof, and they forgot God. And again, we cannot look at what Isaiah is saying to these other nations and to Judah and to Israel and not think that, this sounds exactly like the message we need. Because as a nation, haven't we forgotten God? I mean, many churches claim to be churches of God and really have very little to say about God and certainly very little to say about his word. So if the churches are failing, what about the general public or the leadership of our nation? We have as a nation forgot God, and we're trying to get him out of everything. Have for years, decades, been trying to get God out of everything. You know, this separation of church and state, which doesn't really exist. But that's the excuse. Got to keep God separate. So they forgot God, exactly as they were warned. So they gathered armor, they strengthened the walls, they collected water. A couple of other passages that talk about this, 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Verses 1 through 4, after these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah, encamped against the fenced cities, and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains, which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? And so they put a stop to the collecting of water. Then verse 30, and they basically collected it between the walls. That was the whole point. Then verse number 30, same chapter, 2 Chronicles 32, 30. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon, that's the upper pool, and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David, and Hezekiah prospered in all his works. And then 2 Kings, just one verse, 2 Kings 20:20. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might and how he made a pool and a conduit. There it is. and brought water into the city? Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? All right. And then lastly, they build a reservoir, which I've referred to anyway. It's in verse 11, building a reservoir between the two walls. So they did all this stuff. Never thought once, maybe we should pray. I mean, God did deliver us from the Assyrian, 185,000. Certainly, he's available to help us here, but nope. Because they didn't seek the Lord, their fate was sealed. Their fate was sealed. Again, last part of verse 11, but ye have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness. You know what that refers to? Pulling their hair out in absolute agony over sin. I mean, being that grieved over one's own sin that they wear sackcloth, which of course was a sign of mourning, and repentance, and crying tears of great sorrow, and so absolutely agonizing over sin, they pull their own hair up. But it takes some repentance to do that, wouldn't it? Behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen. Here's the opposite. Here's what they were doing. Verse 12 is what they should have been doing. Behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen, killing sheep, eating flesh, drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts. Surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you to you. I remember when God told Isaiah, you know, you're not going to be very successful in your ministry. You're going to preach, 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 preach. And they're going to be carried away, captive. They're not going to listen. So basically, you're going to fail. That's encouraging. And here, that's what God is telling him here. He said, the iniquity shall not be purged. There will be no atonement from you till ye die, saith the Lord God of hosts. So, not very promising. Not very promising. All right, so now, notice in verse 8 that God, he discovered the covering of Judah. Basically, is talking about, of course, that house, but God also removed his covering. He removed his protection from his people. He removed his covering, his protection from the people. They figured God would deliver them, just like he did from the Assyrians, from the Babylonians, and, of course, that didn't happen. Many prophets have been sent by God, but to no avail. Now it's too late. Their hearts were hardened. The possibility of forgiveness was past. Judah would go into captivity, and God's word would be fulfilled, as is recorded in chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that saying, the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build and with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries of reason against him and join his enemies together. The Assyrians before, the Philistines behind, they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto them him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. So the northern kingdom fell because they wouldn't turn to God, and now the southern kingdom is going to fall because they also would not turn back to the Lord. I think we're going to stop. I know it's a little early, but I don't want to rush through this last part. You guys okay with that? Or you want me to go on? You want me to give a refund, some of my salary? Actually, it's about a normal length of a lesson. We have more time on Wednesday night generally. So it seems like I'm cutting out, but I'm really not. All right, let me write the date or I'll be asking you next week. Now, where are we? Today's the 26th, correct?